I'll go ahead and do announcements. You can turn there again, Romans 8. We get our new building here soon, hopefully around this month, but the latest will be December. We have our services every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday at 5:30 p.m. EST. 5:30 p.m. EST is the fellowship. 5:45 just right now is the hymns. Around 5:50 to 6 p.m. is when the preaching starts. It's around this time. But yeah, that's much it for announcements. Anyone has any prayer requests? Anybody? All right. Other than that, we're going to go ahead and go to Romans chapter 8. I'll go ahead and read our text. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or a pearl or a sword? As is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nana, would you come up and pray over service for me?
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this service today. I pray that you give preacher uttering. I pray that all of us might learn something today or get something out of the sermon today. I just pray that we all have a good time here at church day. In your most holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So the title of my message today is Loved Anyway. Loved Anyway. I got 3 points, so very simple. So we're in Romans chapter 8, and right here Paul is making it very clear that nothing can separate us from the love of God. He says, death, life, angels, or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. My first point today is let go of the self that tries to earn God's love. Right, naturally, we think that we must earn it or get his favor. And so what we do is we go to a fig leaf religion, dead works, works that we do in our flesh, trying to earn his love, earn his acceptance, earn his favor. Some people go to church thinking they go to church, God will bless them, God will help them. Or they think if they go soul winning or they do a certain work, you know, just maybe I just share a Bible verse. They think that God will bless them or accept them. And what they're doing is basing their standing before God on their works, what they do or don't do. And sometimes people base their standing on God on their feelings or other terms, sensations. And this is what we call mystical legalism. We call it mystical because it's based on sensations and inward feelings. We call it legalism because many people will turn those feelings and sensations into a works-based righteousness. So for example, sometimes we may not feel joy, right? Or peace or rest. And sometimes we think naturally something's wrong with me. You know, is God upset with me or am I not doing enough? And that's the mystical legalism that many people struggle with to this day. You know, sometimes we feel joyful, right? We have seasons of joy where we actually feel like, you know, like, hey man, we're just always at rest, always at peace, always at joy. But then there's seasons where we feel dry, where we feel numb and not really close to God. But let me make this very clear. There's no such thing as getting closer to God. The moment you believe the gospel, you're one with the Lord. You're already as close with him. Already, you're one with him, 1 Corinthians 6 says. And the reason why I'm titling this video, this sermon, Loved Anyway, is no matter what state you're in, no matter what condition you're in, you're loved by God. Not just loved, but accepted. Righteous, forgiven, holy. Because of what Jesus did. You know, most churches, about 99% of churches teach a false gospel of works, or they are Galatianized, where they'll say you're saved by grace through faith, but if you want God's favor or blessing, you got to keep the law. That's wrong. We're going through the book of Galatians, and you'll see more about that in Galatians 3 next Wednesday. But our acceptance before God is already secured through Christ. So we have to let go of this self of trying to earn God's love, right? The cross already done that. You know, Jesus has already done everything needed to make us right with God. Right? We're not climbing up to God. God came down to us. We don't live to earn God's love. We should live from it. We already have it. Go to the Bible, to Jeremiah 31. This is Old Testament. Go to Jeremiah 31. But we already have God's love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 reads, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee." And we see in Ephesians that the Lord has drawn us by his blood. Which is what he did. God's love for you is everlasting. How long is everlasting? Never ending. There was no beginning. It's everlasting. We say the term God is love. So his love for you, though, has been everlasting. You're standing before him. Remember, in Ephesians, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be loved, to be holy, blameless in his sight. Right? Before the foundation of the world, God knew how he was going to justify us. And it wasn't by your works. So we see pictures in Genesis with Abraham offering his son Isaac. That was a picture of the Father giving his begotten son. A picture of Jesus. Cain and Abel. Cain, who offered up his own works to God. Cain, offered the fruit of his own labor. Abel offered up the blood sacrifice, which was a picture of what? The sacrifice of the cross. And Abel's faith was in the blood. And God declared Abel as righteous and accepted that offering while he rejected Cain, who offered up his own works. Modern Christianity has been Judaized. It's funny, I talked about it in my last service, how alt-right people don't like the Jews, right? They'll say, oh, I'm against the Jews and all this other stuff. But yet, them themselves are living like Jews. Paul said to Peter, if thou being a Jew, livest after the man of the Gentiles, why are you trying to compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We have died to the law. And yet these alt-right people say they profess Jesus and they love Jesus. They believe in Christian values. But it's a performance-based righteousness. To me, they're just Judaized. They're a sect of Judaism. Like in Acts 15, how they had that council where the sect of the Pharisees who believed in Jesus were adding circumcision to Gentiles. Not just circumcision, but trying to get them to follow the law. And Paul says, no, we have died to the law. The gospel is not faith and law, it's faith in Christ alone. Anyway, my point is that modern Christianity is just performance-based. It's all about you and what you don't do. But the gospel is all about what Jesus did for us. My second point. God's love keeps no record of wrongs. And this is a shocking. Really. Well, what's the basic message of the gospel is that Jesus died and rose again. But when we believe that, and what's the word believe mean? We use different terminology, but it's simple. The word believe means persuaded. You were convinced what Jesus did was for you. And in that very moment, you were saved. We use the term trust. Right? You're trusting what he did, not what you do. But when you believe, you are fully forgiven of all sin. Past sins, sins you've done in your past. Sins you've done today and haven't done yet are all forgiven. And this shocks people, but this is the gospel. Romans 4, my favorite chapter, verse 7, blessed are they, those are believers, whose iniquities are forgiven, right? Your lawless deeds. And he says, your sins are covered. And verse 8 tells us, blessed is he, the man, whom God will not impute sin. And what that means is that our sins, our wrongdoings are gone, forgiven, not reckoned to us. You're not defined by your sins, your past. You're defined because of what Jesus did. And so what most people do in modern Christianity What's going on? You guys good? All right, sorry. And modern Christianity is that they make it all about you. You turn from your sins. You go to church. But the gospel says, no, Christ died for our sins. It's impossible to turn from your sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Paul says, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. That's why God judged it at the cross. Paul says we're crucified with Christ, right? That means all our virtues, all our afflictions, all our lusts were judged, and there's no double jeopardy. God is done with the flesh, no longer seeking something from it. But God's love, my point is that his love keeps no records. Right? We love 1 Corinthians 13. That's like the most verse that people use in marriages and weddings. But it's not just a description how we should love others. It's a description on how God loves us. He's patient with our journey. Kind towards our weakness. He's not frustrated or disappointed, not rolling his eyes, not mad. He keeps no records of wrongs, past, present, or future. Where others will keep score and say, hey, you know this guy, X, Y, and Z, he done all this bad stuff. But God doesn't see it. Or where we keep score, where we dwell on our past mistakes and sins. There's no record of it. So you're loved anyway. 1 Corinthians 13:5, love keeps no record of wrongs. Where is that love today towards our fellow brothers, right? Where is that love today towards people in general? We live in a cold world today, full of hatred, wrath, and bitterness. Nobody, you know, that movie Joker, you know, what did he say? No one knows what it's like to be the other guy. We watch the news. We get political. We get all this stuff, right and left. We're so divided. All that's going to bring unity is the gospel. You can have your political views all you want, but don't forget what it's like to be the other guy. We judge poor people. The far right likes to judge poor people. When food stamps, all that happened, 45 million people, I believe, lost that. Oh, they're just lazy, get a job. But those people are working jobs, and they're not making enough. And then left people will say, oh, right people are just hateful and bitter. What do you expect when we see our country falling apart? I'm not right wing or left wing, but see their point of view. See why they feel the way they feel. Instead of killing each other. I'm not trying to get political here. I'm not a politician. I trust God. God knew who was going to be president, who was not going to be president. He's working all things out for our good. But my point is that love today is just not something that's just not common. We live in a cold world. I was thinking about, I was watching this movie, and it was about a preacher, and it was like in the cowboy days, 1800s, all that stuff, Western times, right? And it was simple because you can go to these, he was a preacher and he was a revival preacher. He would go to these farms, hey, can I have a place to stay? And they say, yeah, come on in. They'll fed him and gave him clothes and water and all that stuff. I mean, that kind of, I want to do that today. Listen, let's be honest. If some random guy comes knocking on my door and say, hey, I need a place to stay. Yeah, get out of here. Right? Different culture. My point is, what was it like back then? You know, this guy, nice guy comes in. Hey, man, you know, I have a place. Yeah, come on in, you know. Point is that God loves, keeps no records of wrongs. He's patient with us. He's not rolling his eyes at you. He's not disappointed with you. He's not frustrated with you. But understand, I keep doing this. I keep doing the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. And God is saying, I don't see that. I don't relay you on that. Psalms 103, right? David says what? As far as the east and the west, he has removed our sin from us. So God's love has kept no records of our wrongs. None. You're loved anyway. But not just that, right? The Bible says in Colossians 1, that through Jesus' death, he presented you as holy, as unblameable and unprovable in his sight. So you're not just loved anyway, but you're holy anyway, and you're righteous anyway. No matter what state you're in. I give extreme examples. My favorite extreme example that I used in my past was this. You can be a crooked prostitute on a street corner, selling your coochie, okay, and you're still holy. You're still righteous. You're still loved. See, why did I go extreme? Because I have to today. Because some people just don't get it. Third point. Being loved unconditionally sets us free. Really. Let's be honest here. And we're real honest with ourselves. We play VR chat. You play it. You love it. You meet friends. And sometimes your deepest fear is that we're fear of being rejected. Or just in human generally, where is fear of being rejected? From other people. What if I sound dumb in front of him? Or, you know what I mean? We have this fear. But God's love, when we understand that, removes that fear. Not with pressure, but with his presence, amen? That we're now standing in his love unconditionally. First John says, perfect love drives out fear. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can be in the worst condition of your life, and Jesus is still with you. He will never leave. You're one with him. You're free. And I talked about in my service before, my sermon I did before a long time ago, talking about how you're truly free. Go watch that. And so that includes you're free to stop pretending. When you're around different people that you're trying to, want them to accept you, stop pretending to be something that you're not. The Bible says that's a work of the flesh called what? Emulation. Pretending to be something that you're not. Stop pretending. You can stop what? Performing. You know what my biggest struggle is? I think I have to sound a certain way when I preach. I got to sound fancy. I got to use fancy words. I got to make sure, I sound a certain way. I got to make sure I'm a perfectionist. Listen, when I do videos on YouTube, if you check my channel, it's like only a couple hundred. But the videos you see uploaded, I've done like 20 retakes for a lot of those videos. I'm such a perfectionist. And I need to remind myself that I'm free not to perform. And just be me. Sound the way I sound. I'll be honest with you. I have a reading disability. I don't have a good reading level. Okay. I struggle reading. All that stuff, right? So I'll be honest with you. We're free to stop performing. Stop pretending. We're free to stop worrying about failing. And we're free to begin to rest. We're free to begin to live as someone already accepted because we are based on what Jesus did. And we do things in life. We want to be seen. We want to be known. But listen, you are fully known. You are fully seen. And you're fully loved right now. Not because of anything you have done or nor will you do, but because of what Jesus did. All of us are here. All of you here today. Whether you feel like it or not, you are accepted and loved. My biggest struggle, I'll tell you what, like I talked about earlier, how mystical legalism is a big thing that at least I struggle with. And like I said, sometimes we don't feel a sense of joy or rest or peace or natural mindset. Is something wrong with me? Did I believe enough? Am I really this or really that? That's just down to the enemy. Because you are loved, you are accepted. Romans 8, look what it says here, and I want you to really read this and remember it. Remember it. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation, distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or pearl or sword. None of those things can separate you. I mean, use modern language. Your past can't separate you from the love of God. Your future mistakes can't separate you from the love of God. Your present day to day, nothing you do can separate you from His love. You are free to enjoy His love. You're free to enjoy Him. Paul goes on to say, it is written, we're killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for slaughter. Excuse me. But nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You are a conqueror in Christ. You're kings, you're prince, you're priests, you're saints, you're holy ones in Christ. You're a holy generation. I don't live like it. We ain't talking about you living. We're talking about who you are. You're these things. Not because you did something great. Not because you went to church. Not because you stopped doing that, do this. No, it's all because of what He did. That is the gospel. Christ made us holy. He, matter of fact, in this one is this, is that we're one with Him, the Bible says. So I'm holy and righteous because He's holy and righteous. He's all those things. And I'm now joined with Him. So I'll forever be loved. I will always be loved. I'll always be accepted. I'll always be righteous. I'll always be holy because of Christ. When you hear teachers and say, well, preacher, my preacher says this and my pastor said this, forget them. Forget them. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 3 that we're justified freely. And if you're hearing pastors, you're hearing teachers who are teaching a performance-based righteousness, mark and avoid them. Don't give it a time of day because Paul says, don't give place to the devil. And the devil's the accuser. So when you listen to these false teachers, you put things in your head. Oh, are you really saved? Do you really believe? Are you really loved? And that's why we got to say no. Mark and avoid, man. And we stand in the gospel truth. That's why Paul says to, if you continue in the faith, right? Be grounded in it. Be settled in it. In the gospel. See, the gospel is not, some pastors will say, oh, the gospel is just the basic milk stuff. And I was thinking about this in Hebrews, because Hebrews talks about the milk of the word. First off, here's the thing. When the Hebrews talks about the milk of the word, it's not talking about the Bible. The Bible wasn't, they didn't have a Bible back then. The milk of the word is Jesus, Logos, Jesus. And he's saying, because remember in Hebrews, they were going through intense persecution by Judaizers. And these were Jewish believers who knew they were free from the law. But Jews were attacking them, and they were getting tempted to go back to the law. And in Hebrews 5, it says, listen, by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the first oracles of God. You should know you're justified. You should know you're right with God. And you should be able to teach others these things and grow in these things. And he says, listen, if you need a milk, right? Milk, what is that milk? It's not understanding. Milk in Hebrews 5 is saying this. These people were struggling to see that they're righteous already. They were struggling to see their forgiveness. So they become unskillful in the word of righteousness, which is Christ Himself. They're having issues proclaiming the gospel because it was becoming a mixed message. And Hebrews 6, when it talks about the falling away there, it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about maturity. Growing mature in your faith of grace and understanding. And he's saying they fell away from that. So it's possible even as believers to fall from that maturity of our standing of grace. That's why he says, don't forsake one another in this time. Stay with one another, encourage one another, remind one another who you are in Christ. Right? When Hebrews 10:25, when it talks about don't forsake the assembly, some teachers will abuse that and say, oh, don't, you have to go to church. But again, remember back then church wasn't like this. It was a household. It was gatherings. They actually lived with each other. What Paul was saying was don't forsake each other during this time because judgment's coming upon Jerusalem. Remind each other of the gospel. Stand firm in grace. And that's why we preach a lot here on grace because that's the way of life. That's the new way. That's newness of life. Life dependent on God. That should always be our focus, is the gospel, is Christ crucified. But we're loved anyway. We're accepted anyway. We're righteous anyway, no matter what. We're almost done. Short service today. But listen, you are loved unconditionally. You're loved unconditionally. There's no ifs and buts. You're right with God. No ifs and buts. How do I know I'm right with God? Did you at one point in your life believe that Christ died and rose again? Yeah, then you're right with God. There's no ifs and buts. We need to stop seeing our condition and stop worrying about what we do and get our focus back on the gospel and not lose sight of that. Because the gospel brings joy, it brings rest, it brings comfort, it brings peace. And as believers, the gospel is our food, it's our drink, it's our milk and meat, it's our everything. What you need to be aware of as a believer is strange meat, Paul says. Meat that gets you off of Christ onto yourself. If someone comes up and says, well, this is what you got to do because this verse says so. Read the context. Say, huh, you're mixed. You're not understanding that. Most people don't preach from Paul. And because of that, you have a mixed message today. I had a guy who commented on my page. I'll end with this. He was all, the fact that you're saying there's law versus grace, this is just you attacking Yahweh's word. Someone comes up to me and start talking about Yahweh and Yeshua. I don't know what they're talking about. Jesus is Jesus. Well, in the Hebrew, it was written in Greek in the New Testament. It's Jesus. In the Greek, in the New Testament, when it comes to Jesus, it's Jesus. Jehovah is Old Testament. Jehovah. Ain't no Yahweh. Ain't no Yeshua. That's just my personal belief. You can have what the hell you want. But when someone talks about Yahweh this, Yahweh that, I don't want to hear it. Yahweh that. I'll tell you about the God of I'll tell you about the one Father. I'll tell you about God the Father, one Lord, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you about the Holy Spirit, the triune God. I'll tell you about them. But anyway, he commented and he said, Paul wasn't saying you're justified by faith alone. He was saying you're justified by faith. But if you're really saved, you don't have the works. That's nowhere in Scripture. Right? That's not what the Bible presents. But why do they feel like that? Because they mix law with grace. They mix James with Paul. They can't mix. They're two different messages, buddy. And you have to see that. Why God raised up Paul? Why do we speak grace? Why do we preach this? Because this is the message from the foundation of the world since Genesis that God was going to preach. It was never God's plan for you to be enslaved by the good and evil, captive by it. God never planned for you to be in bondage and guilt and shame. As I wonder how Adam and Eve lived before the fall. Before they knew good and evil, but they're just living. They're eating. They were living life, man, by faith. Enjoying their creator. Enjoying the animals. They had dominion over the animals. They killed and hunted and loved. But then Satan came along. See, they didn't know being naked was a shameful thing. When we see someone naked now, like, oh, how can they dress naked like that? Put some clothes on. You know, you're showing too much skin. And I'm not saying be naked, listen. But it's VR time. I don't care how you dress, okay? But they were naked. They had no knowledge of it being shameful. And God didn't care that they were naked. But when Satan told them about the good and evil, their conscience became enslaved to that. So they felt guilt. They felt shame. So God put the tree there. It was never his plan for them to go to that. God was okay with them how they were. But when they ate the tree of good and evil, which we might say the law now, and so this wonder, you say, and this, you know, this is why I believe God gave the law. Remember, Romans 8 says this, all things work together for good. So what did God do? See, when God gave the tree, he created it. It was good. But Satan tried to turn that for evil by enslaving his creation. So what God did was, okay, I'm going to make a covenant with Israel. I'll give them, I'll give them the law. And he gave them the law. Us Gentiles never part of the law. So it doesn't apply to us. But the covenant in the Old Testament with Israel and God was the 613 commandments. That's 10 commandments and that's the Shemiramah, all of it. to show Israel how holy he really was, how righteous he really was, because Satan's message in the garden wasn't, hey, Adam and Eve, if you guys just have sex, or if you guys just, hey, just do whatever you want, live the way you want to live, right? That's what we hear in churches. As kids, we thought, in churches, we thought the Adam and Eve message was live how you want. But when you read the message, is this, you can be like God, knowing good and evil. And what was Satan was telling Adam and Eve in that time was, hey, you can be holy, you can be righteous, you can be accepted if you just knew what was right from wrong. That was the message in the garden. It wasn't live how you want. It was you can be holy, you can be righteous if you knew from right and wrong. So God gave the law to show the people if they're going to live like that, if they really think they can be righteous like that, I'm going to give you the law full of it and show you you can't keep it. And so what the law did was bring us guilty before God. And God, out of his love, sent his son to free us from the law. So I will make a way for you. We're almost done. So you're loved anyway. So enjoy that. Today, enjoy that. That you're loved. That you're accepted. I need to hear this too. Again, our conscience, right? We have a conscience. And Paul encouraged us to purge our conscience from dead works, right? Because sometimes our conscience will eat us alive. Or you're not feeling that sense of joy. You're not feeling that sense of peace. And we think, oh no, something's wrong with me. But purge your conscience from that. How? With the blood. And say, because of the blood, I've been accepted. Because of what Jesus, I'm accepted. I'm loved no matter what. He's my peace. I may struggle with peace down here. We sometimes don't have peace. But no matter what, Christ is my peace. So my message today is this. You're loved anyway. Whether you're feeling today, whether you're struggling mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever you're going through, you're loved. You're righteous. And remember this. God is working all things out for our good. Romans 8, let's go back there real quick and let's just read the verse above. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And to love God is letting God love you. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us. So, God's working all things out for your good because you're his child. He has called you according to his purpose. Verse 29. For he did foreknew, he also did predestinate in the image of his son, they might be the firstborn among men and brethren. Moreover, where he did predestinate, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So whatever you're going through, God is for you. I don't feel like he's for me. Well, he is for you. If God foreknew you in Christ and he predestinated you and he justified you, who could be against you? If God has declared you righteous, God has declared you qualified because you place your faith in him, who can be against you? Not me, not any angels in heaven, not death nor life, nothing in this world can separate from his love, but nothing in this world can stop you because God's for you. Rejoice in that. So enjoy his love. Enjoy that. You're loved anyway. I'm a drunk. You're loved. Preacher, I ERP'd in VR chat last night. You're loved. Preacher, I cussed out somebody. You're loved. You're loved anyway. Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, Lord, for this gathering, for the people here, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you just remind us that we're loved. And Lord, we thank you that we are righteous and we're holy because of what you did at the cross. Lord, it is written that the just shall live by faith. Thank you, Lord, that we lack nothing as children of God, that we're co-heirs of Christ and we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We're one with him, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you remind the brothers and sisters here that they're loved and accepted because of what you did on the cross, Lord. If any of them is going through doubt or struggles or battles in their lives, Lord, I pray you show them that you're supplying grace and mercy, wisdom, because you are those things, Lord, and you're supplying all that for them, Lord. Lord, help us to rest in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Service is dismissed for fellowship.